front past the Mission Field. Willie Kincaid is the son of Fourth Commander Kincaid, who many of you know and have over the years. We had the privilege of helping to support Brother Lindell Kincaid when he was on the Mission Field himself in Guatemala. And now God's called his son to go to Guatemala, and in a sense, kind of take up the torch and carry on there. And so we've asked Brother Billy to come and share with us this evening. I want to say it's good to have his wife here, this a newly wed couple. And I want his wife, Cindy, to stand. Cindy, will you stand, please? We're glad you're here this evening. And the Lord bless you. They called and asked my advice and promptly ignored it. We got married anyway. I was so proud of that advice that gave up. Oh, that was good. That's good job. I really got those kids excited. You didn't know they were married. Amen. We're glad to have you here. You pray for us. You come and share with us, please.
I want to praise the Lord for my wife, and that the Lord has worked everything out in the last few weeks and months that I've been having my life surrendered to the Lord. I don't know if you know, but about 4 or 5 months ago, it was in December, Brother Joe had a missionary conference at our church. I surrendered to the mission field. Now, I've been praying about it for a long time. I've talked with my dad many times about it, but I've never gotten clear in my own mind as to what the Lord would have me to do in my life. And I felt the Lord call me to preach. Matter of fact, the Lord, a few months before that, just made it clear to me that I was called to preach. The Lord wanted me to preach His gospel. But I didn't know how, I didn't know what to do, I didn't know where to go. I didn't really have any light on the subject of what I was supposed to do with my life. And during the missionary conference, I guess it was about the second to last day there, I was working for Stanley Drug Company, and I drove a lot. I was driving to Food City, and I was driving about halfway from Houston. I was coming back. It was in a little town called Columbus, and I was coming back, and I had all that time. I didn't have any more stops or anything else to do. I just had all that time to pray and talk to the Lord. And I just turned off the TV radio, didn't go out here and that. And I was trying to get back in time for the missionary conference that night, and I prayed for about an hour and a half to 2 hours whether the Lord would allow me, give me the privilege to go to the mission field. And on the way back, before I got even back to the missionary conference, I knew it was just clear in my mind that the Lord would let me be a missionary. And as far as where to go, I didn't know, but I had a burden for Guatemala. I guess I'll give you a little bit of history on me. My father was a missionary to Guatemala, and he was there for 3 years, and I was saved in Guatemala. The Lord saved my soul. He taught my heart to fear out of grace. I was raised in a good Christian home. I knew the scriptures. From the time I was 2 or 3 years old, I could recite scriptures. And I knew the Word of God, and I knew how to get saved. And I was saved in Guatemala when I was 9 years old. I was baptized there in the town of Quetzaltenango. And I have a burden for Guatemala. I love it. I love it. And as soon as I surrendered the mission field, I really didn't have much doubt as to where I wanted to go, at least for the first few years that I'm there, or whatever. But the Lord has been so good in my life, especially lately. He's given me so much grace, so many things that shouldn't have worked out. It looked to me like it just shouldn't have worked out the way it did, but I know it was the Lord who worked them out. Because there's no other way that me, a 19-year-old, could be headed for language school in Guadalajara, Mexico, in 3 days without the grace of God being in it. Every door just seemed to open. And I want to praise the Lord for that tonight. I also want to praise the Lord that He did give me a wife to go with me, and that everything that I prayed for and all the blessings that I wanted and just opened up for me, that all the gates were open, and it was all the Lord's doing. And I'd like to read in Acts chapter 12. Lately, I've been working with a system called film evangelism at Lackland Air Force Base. What it is the basic trainees there, they have Saturdays afternoons and Sunday afternoons off, and we will go there and we'll show films in the squadrons to the basic trainees, and we have 20 to 30 minutes to preach to them afterwards about Jesus. We show them Christian films, and they will all come down and see the films, and then they'll stay for the preaching. We have a great ministry there. But as we were there, we noticed one thing that changed everything in the ministry. We had, everything was going down in the ministry since the main director went to a different team. There was four of us left there. We had two showings a week at two places. And everything seemed to be going down. I couldn't figure out why everything was going down in the film ministry. The attendance was getting lower. The response was getting lower. We were getting more trouble from the people who headed the thing. You know, we had it by permission. We didn't have any authority to be there. They all just needed permission to come. And everything seemed to be going down. It looked to me like the Lord was going to close the whole thing up. And we didn't want that to happen. So Saturday afternoon at about 4:30, the first prayer meeting we had was me and a man named Joe Benedetti, and we were both in the films. We went there, and for about an hour before we showed the films, we started praying. And I prayed until I ran out of things to pray about, and then he prayed until he ran out of things, and I prayed. And we prayed that the Lord would fill up the classes that we were going to show the films to that day. We prayed the Lord would fill it up. And the interesting thing was this was the first prayer meeting we had on that, and we prayed hard, and we tried to believe, you know, we tried to have faith that it was going to happen because we knew it was the Lord's will, and yet we just couldn't seem, you know, to know that it was going to happen. And yet we prayed anyway, and we left it in the hands of the Lord. Well, we got there, and he took one squadron, and I took the other, and neither one of us was in the Air Force. We would have gotten in trouble if they found that out. But we went in, and we made the announcements. And I didn't know what happened to him. He was in the other squadron. But I walked in and I was waiting for just the usual crowd, two or three people to show, you know. And two people showed up. And I was a little bit now dejected because the Lord really just hadn't answered our prayer, you know, and just filled the place up. But I said, well, maybe it's the Lord's will. And one of the men asked what the film was about. And I didn't know. I hadn't seen it. But the other man had, and he told me that it was had something to do with motocross racing. And I told him, well, I think it's something about motocross racing. He said, well, just a minute. And he ran back into the squat box, it's the PA thing that goes through all the dormitories. And what he did was he announced it over the intercom that it was a motocross race film. And I mean, the place just packed in. It was just full. And it just, I couldn't believe it. Matter of fact, first anything was an act of prayer. I just thought it was just luck, you know. And then later on, I realized, man, the Lord is my friend. And first I tried to explain it away, you know, he did all that, and it wasn't really the Lord. But it was the Lord. Yeah. The Lord answered my prayer. And since that time, I've had a special interest in prayer. And the prayer that we have the power of God resting upon us. The power of God at our fingertips in prayer. And in Acts chapter 12, I'm going to start at verse 1, I'll read through verse 19. I want you to notice the difference between James and Peter and what happens here. Now about that time, Herod the king stretched forth his hands to vex certain of the church. And he killed James, the brother of John, with the sword. And because he saw it pleased the Jews, he proceeded further to take Peter also. Then were the days of unleavened bread. And when he had apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to four returning soldiers to keep him, intending after Easter to bring him forth to the people. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing with the church unto God for him. And when Herod would have brought him forth, the same night Peter was sitting between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keeper before the doors kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison, and he smote Peter on the side, and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly. And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came to the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out and passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, now I know of a surety that the Lord had sent his angel and had delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, thou art mad. But she constantly affirmed it was even so. Then said they, it is his angel. But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him and were astonished. But he beckoned unto them with his hand to hold their peace, declaring to them how the Lord had brought him out of prison, and said, go show these things unto James and to the brethren. And he departed and went into another place. Now as soon as it was day, there was no small stir among the soldiers what was become of Peter. And when Herod had sought for him, they found him not, He examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death, and he went down from Judea to Caesarea and their abode. You know, the difference between Peter and James was that James got his head cut off and Peter got set loose. And you know, when you first read over that, you think, well, maybe it's just the grace of God. Maybe God has some certain special use for James, for Peter, and yet James had fulfilled his life. And that's true to a certain extent. But there is a difference in the handling of James and of Peter. And if you'll notice it, they didn't show that there was any hindrance for Herod to kill James. And I imagine Herod thought, well, this is great, you know, I kill James and everybody likes it. And nothing can stop me because I just took James and there was no hindrance at all. There's no resistance. And so he proceeded to take Peter also. But in verse 5, it says, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for it. You know, I wonder if the church knew how powerful their prayer was. I know it doesn't look to me like they prayed for James. It looked like Herod just took James and killed him and he didn't have a chance to pray for him or even think twice about it. And I wonder sometimes whether the church realized that the power of prayer they have to save Peter. But you'll notice in verse 15, they said she was mad when they found her prayer was answered. They prayed for Peter to be delivered. And when Peter got delivered, they didn't believe it. They thought she was mad, you know. What they did was they prayed without faith. They didn't really have faith that it was going to happen. I'm sure they tried to believe, like many times I prayed and I tried to believe, Lord, I believe it's going to happen. I'm trying to put my faith in you, but there's nothing to put your faith in. I know the Lord's going to have to pray. It's His will, and I know the Lord is His will. I find it hard for me to put my faith in what I pray for. But they prayed, and it says they, without ceasing, prayed. They just kept praying. They see that they don't have faith, and they just keep praying. And that's what made the difference between Peter and James. You know, I bet Herod, when he killed James, and took Peter also, he was thinking he caught God asleep. Here's this new religion. Here's this new religion that has been spreading like wildfire. And he decides to vex them. He decides to stop it. And he takes one of their head leaders, James. He was one of their head men, James, the brother of John. A son of thunder, he must have been some preacher, but he took him captive and just cut off his head, and that was over. And he said, this is great, you know, there's no resistance, I'll take Peter also, and I'll cut off his head. But he waited in order to make a big show of him. He was going to make a big show, make it all public, so everybody would love him for getting rid of these Christians. And he thought he caught God asleep. But he didn't catch God asleep, because when he killed James, God was just as powerful there, he could save James. And when he tried to kill Peter, God was still just as powerful. He did save Peter. The difference was the church. Herod didn't catch God asleep. He caught the church asleep. They were not praying. They did not have the same fervor, the same burden that they should have had. And you'll notice in this church, somebody had a burden for Peter. Must not have had much of a burden for James, because when they apprehended James, you didn't notice anything. It wasn't enough even to make a note of it. They didn't pray for James. And what happened? James got his head cut off because the power rested in the hands of the church. God had given the power to the hands of the church. He said, whatever you bind on earth is going to be found in heaven. I give you the power.
Right.
If you will pray for this certain thing in the Lord's will, then I'll do it for you. He said, you ask what you will. You haven't asked anything in my name, but now I ask and I'll give it to you. He gave the power to the church. The power did not rest in God's will any longer. It rested in the will of the church. It shows right there, he killed James, and the church didn't stop him. But when he tried to kill Peter, the church, without ceasing, prayed to God for Peter. And God loosed Peter. God answered their prayer. The power was in the hands of the church. You know, faith is very powerful. It will give you the victory. It says the victory that overcomes the world is faith. And when you have faith, the Lord said you can move mountains. And faith is one of the most powerful things I imagine that you can find in the Word of God. But you'll notice, when these people prayed, they didn't pray a prayer of faith. The faith is what saved Peter. Their faith isn't what convinced God to save Peter. It was their opportunity. The only difference you'll find, you'll notice that they didn't believe it even when the prayer was answered. They didn't believe what had happened. So the faith that it was a moving force. It was their prayer. It was their not ceasing to pray. They had a burden. There was somebody in this church in the country of Judea that had a burden. And I believe we ought to take heart to that. I believe we ought to find a burden. We have the power of God in our fingertips. We do, because right there they had enough power to loose Peter, and he was in the third war. He was in the dungeon of the dungeon in the prison. There was nothing they could do. They had come to the end of themselves. There was no more that they could do as far as saving Peter. But they prayed, and they prayed without ceasing, and that gave them all power in order to save Peter. Prayer was made without ceasing of the church for him. Somebody in that church had a burden for Peter. Somebody knew that Peter needed to come out of there. And for the glory of God, it was for the glory of God. They couldn't get glory out of that. They prayed. They could do nothing of their own. They prayed to God, and God delivered him, because somebody in that church laid a burden on that church heart to pray for Peter. Whereas James didn't have the same burden in that church. And James ultimately was killed. But I want you to notice the cost of that answer to prayer. You know, Roman custom was that if a soldier lost his prisoner, that soldier took the prisoner's punishment. If the prisoner was going to die, and that soldier lost the prisoner, then the soldier died in his place. Now, the church knew that. I'm sure they knew it, but I can't see how they didn't know it. But when they were praying for Peter, they didn't think about the 16 soldiers that were guarding Peter. This wasn't just a real righteous prayer. This was a prayer that if it got answered, it was going to cause the death of 16 innocent men. They were just doing their job. They were doing what they were paid to do. And yet, God, in His power, through the prayer of the church, saved Peter and caused 16 soldiers to be put to death. You'll notice in verse 19, "And when Herod had sought for him and found him not, he examined the keepers and commanded that they should be put to death." There were 4 quaternions of soldiers guarding Peter. 16 soldiers were guarding Peter, and there were 1 put to death because of the answer to prayer in the church. The church got their answer to prayer, and it wasn't because of this unselfish prayer. The reason why that prayer not answered was because they ceased not to pray. You know, in the film industry, we have so many beautiful answered prayers when we pray fervently. We pray that something would be answered, and when we didn't have faith, we just keep praying for it and pray that the Lord would have it happen. And that convinced me more than anything else. I've heard a lot of preaching on prayer. I've heard a lot of people's testimonies on prayer. But when it actually happened to me and I saw prayer answered that just was impossible for me to believe, it just changed my attitude toward prayer. I know for a fact that prayer can give you the power that you need to do anything. You know, the Bible says, "Now thanks be to God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ." You know, we don't walk around like we're triumphing in Christ. We think that the weapons of our warfare are just kind of imaginary. They're not really powerful. Because we walk around with books and knock on the door, and you know, we think they're just going to slam the door in our face. We have no courage. Because we don't really believe we're going to triumph. But if we believe we were going to triumph, if we believe that we were going to go up there and win for Christ, because that's what he said, he always causes us to triumph through Christ. We're not out here to lose. We're out here to win. And we can win through the power that God has given us. God has given us so much power that we can always triumph through Christ. We can always triumph. All we have to do is use the power he gave us. And he gave us the power in prayer. He gave all the power of heaven and earth in our fingertips. He said that faith can move mountains. And he said, "You ask something, I'll bind myself. You ask something, you bind something on earth, and I'll bind myself in heaven. I'll do it." Because he gave us the power. It's no longer in the hands of the Lord. What happened? It's in the hands of the church. It's in the will of the church. When the church wills to pray for something, then that's going to happen. Because the power of God is now in the hands of the church, in the will of the church. And we can pray for something, and it will happen. It will happen because God has promised it. How many times over and over you can find promises in the Bible to answer a prayer? Over and over. You cannot turn a page without finding promise to answer the prayer that we pray. We also realize how much power we have in our hands. We don't realize it. I know I don't. I know there's many times I pray for something and I believe it's going to happen and it didn't happen. Because I just didn't realize that I had all the power that I needed. You know, since I started to be a missionary, it seems like everything's just been, all my prayers just been empty. Like I could almost ask the Lord for $1 million and he'd give it to me. It almost like I had that much power in prayer. I remember right after I got married, we were driving back to It was the night I got married. We were driving on some road. I forget where we were going. We were going to some place to eat. And it was pretty late at night. It's about 11 o'clock. And we were driving the Subaru. And I didn't know anything about Subarus. I knew they had front wheel drive. I didn't think about it at the time. But she had this brake, this emergency brake, that if you pull it up, then it sticks. And you can let it down all you want to. It's going to stick. The emergency brake's on. And there's nothing you can do about it, especially me when I didn't work on the Subaru. And I pulled up the emergency brake when we stopped there. When we were driving off, the emergency brake was on. We could hardly move. We just couldn't go. And so finally I told my best man, Mr. Floyd, he was driving. He just pulled over at this closed down gas station. It was closed. And we pulled in the light, and I got under there and under the back wheels, the emergency brake to the front wheels. And I got in the back and just pulling on cables trying to get it to the thing to loosen up. And I had no idea what to do. In other words, I was lost. I was hopeless. I came to the end of myself. I could not do anything for that car. And I got into the front wheels. They told me it was in the front wheels. So I got in the front wheels. There was about six cables coming out of that thing. I had no idea what to do. I was just lost. There was nothing I could do. I was completely helpless in that situation. Finally, I just got fed up. And instead of just getting all mad, I grabbed Brandon's best man, his friend of mine, and I said, hey, come here. We just went around the corner. And I said, Lord, if it be in your will, just fix this, please. And don't call me any more discouragement. Lord, I don't want Satan to win in this matter. And he said, yes, Lord. Give me your will to stick those brakes and we'll be the glory. And I had on his coat, his Michigan jacket, I had on his coat in order to keep myself from getting all dirty. And so I just walked back there and I took off the coat and we got in. Didn't have any idea, you know, whether it fits or not. We tried to fake it, you know, believe it, stick to the sticks, you know. And one of the girls asked, did you fix the brakes? And I said, no, the Lord did. And he just got in and drove off. And at first I didn't really believe that it was going to happen. I thought he was just going to fake it. We're going to go whether the brakes are fixed or not. And we got about a block down the road and he said, they're fixed. I said, they're fixed. He said, yes, they're fixed. And I said, I don't believe they're fixed. And he pulled up this red light and the car started rolling backwards. And that didn't fix me. I asked God for something in his will. I asked for it right. I asked for it with not very much faith. And yet God answered my prayer. Because God gave me power in prayer. He gave me the power of God at my fingertips when I needed in prayer. Satan did not get the victory that day because God answered prayer. He saved me from discouragement, and he gave me an awful lot of faith, I think. Man, since that time, I've been praying for all sorts of things now. I tell you, every time I turn around, I pray, Lord, do this, do that, you know, because now I know that the Lord answers prayer. I know it without a shadow of a doubt. Nobody can convince me that God doesn't answer prayer. I've seen it happen. I remember it was Wednesday morning. We had a prayer meeting. We had prayer meeting Wednesday morning. It was all the full-time students that were getting ready to go to the mission field. And we had prayer meeting that morning. And Brett happened to show up that day. He was off. And we showed up for prayer meeting that morning. And we asked about prayer requests. We really didn't have any prayer requests. So I thought, well, I sent off letters to this school in Guadalajara. And I sent off letter after letter. I sent off one letter. It took 2 weeks. And they didn't send anything back. So I sent off another letter. And they had been a week and a half, something they hadn't sent anything back. Man, I was getting just a little bit worried that they weren't going to send anything back, and I wouldn't be able to go to language school this next semester. And I thought, well, Lord, I know it was your will. I mean, I was in a lot of trouble to make it a point to tell people that I'm leaving to go to language school. Lord, I know it's your will for you to fulfill that, and I know it's your will for you to go to language school then. So how come I haven't got the letters back? And so this morning, and I never really prayed about it. And that's bad. That's why they hadn't come back, I'm sure. But I hadn't really prayed about it. I thought, during that prayer that morning, they didn't have any special prayer requests, so I said, well, I'll tell you what, we can pray for, and I'd like us to pray for it pretty hard and special. Let's pray that my papers get back, and that I can get everything taken care of at that language school. And they said, okay. And we prayed quite a bit about that. That was one of our main points in our prayer. We prayed for a long time, and I didn't really think anything about it. I had to go out and pick up my car. It was in the shop, and I went out and picked it up. And my mom had made a special phone call out to the defense to tell me that the papers were in. 2 hours, right after we prayed, 2 hours after we prayed, those papers were in. Because it was in the will of God, and we prayed for it, and we got the power of God in our fingertips. You notice these people, they prayed not with much faith, they just prayed with a lot of purpose, a lot of diligence, and a lot of hope. They hoped that Peter would get out, they had a burden, that Peter would get out of that prison, and for the glory of God, displaying the power of God. And he did, because of that prayer. And it wasn't an unselfish prayer either, because 16 men died because of that. God killed 16 men to save Peter and to answer their prayer. Now that must show you some value of God putting on our prayer, whether it's faithful prayer or not, whether we have so much faith or not. Now faith is going to move things, I can promise. He said, you got a faith, it's going to happen. You got faith to move a mountain, you can say to it, it'll move. So we we have no doubt that if you have a faith, it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And you can just thousands of testimonies that prove that. But prayer in itself is powerful when it's in the will of God. And that shows it right there. They prayed, and their prayer, the answer to that prayer, was more important than 16 in Samaria. God considered their prayer more important than those 16 soldiers that were guarding Peter, because those 16 soldiers died. That was the cost of that prayer. But it got answered anyway. I won't go into a lot of detail on what I said, but I want you to know there's three results that happened because of the answer to this prayer. But prayer, verse 5, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church under God's form. And when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers. You know, a lot of times we think we're going to pray and we're going to get the answer that night. Like I got prayers with other papers and they got on that day, you know. And since then I've been praying a few things and expecting to get the answers right that night. But you know, it says right here, when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was saved. The same night that Herod would, God didn't save him a week before. God saved him the very same night that Peter was going to bring him up the next day. You know, a lot of times God just waits us out to see if we really have a burden for him, but if we really have a love for Peter to see if he gets out of there. He just waited until the last night, and then the last night he was faithful, he brought Peter out. But if they had quit praying and really showed that they didn't really have a burden, I just wonder if Peter would have come out of there. I'm just not so sure he would. Matter of fact, I don't think he would. I believe that the difference between Peter's life and his death was their prayer and their diligence in that prayer. That's what I believe. I believe the Holy Spirit made a special point of putting that in the Bible in order to show me that praying without ceasing is what gets you answers. Verse 6, and when Herod would have brought him forth the same night, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. A lot of times I pray that I know the will of the Lord. Because many things I don't know the will of the Lord. I didn't know the will of the Lord for me to preach. I didn't know. I wanted to preach. I wanted to serve the Lord so bad that I could pray, Lord, let me be called to preach. Just show it to me real clear. And I would hold myself off of announcing that I was called to preach because I was afraid I might be stepping ahead of the Lord. And I was praying, and I would pray over and over that the Lord would give me light about that matter. And man, I imagine the day before I needed it, the Lord gave me light about that. A light shining in that prison. All my chains were gone then. I didn't have any more holdbacks as far as being called a priest. I knew I was called a priest because God let a light shine in my prison. And that blesses me because when I prayed, even though I really didn't have faith that I was called a priest, I didn't know what to put my faith in and say, the Lord, I believe it. I believe with all my faith that it's your will that I'm called a priest. I didn't know. I couldn't say that. So I had to just keep praying and the Lord to do it. And the Lord did it. He said, that's right, I called you to preach. And then when I was called to be a missionary, I didn't know for 6 months. You can talk to my father. I didn't know. I talked with him about it. I said, Dad, I think I'm called to be a missionary, but I'm just not sure. I want to know. I need some light. I need some extra. I need to make things clear. I just don't know. And sure enough, I just kept praying. And about 6 months later, in a missionary conference, the Lord called me to preach. It was an answer to my prayer. A light shines in the prison. When you pray, a light's going to shine. God's not going to leave you in the dark if you're praying in His will. If you just keep praying, He's not going to leave you in the dark. A light will shine. Verse 7, and behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, arise up quickly, and his chains fell off from his hand. That's another thing that happens when you pray. Your chains fall off from your hands. You know, I had a lot of dreams before I really wanted to live to the Lord. I had a lot of dreams. I wanted to get my own place. I wanted to buy my own land. I wanted to be a farmer. I wanted to get married. Just have a, you know, have a good life, you know. And this one certain model of car I wanted. I really wanted this beautiful car from 1972. I just love that model. And I wanted to get myself real clean with a big engine and a big wheels and the whole thing. You know, I was gonna, that was my dream. And I got that car. I got it. All I was going to do was put a couple $1,000 in it and it would be my dream car. And that was changed on my head. Because I loved the idea of having that car so much that it would hinder me from doing the Lord's work. But I was praying, and I was praying that I could do the Lord's will, and the Lord started burdening me with wanting to go to the mission field and all that. And after I surrendered to go to the mission field, man, within a month, I sold that car. The chains fell off my hands. I lost my dreams about getting a home out in the country, you know, and having all these nice little bed of roses here and there. You know, I had a good job, and I quit the job. I let all the chains go. God gave me strength and grace to let all my chains just fall off my hands. And then I became free. And I can go to the mission. mission field by the grace of God because of the prayer, the constant prayer of the Lord will use me. By His grace, I have no chains on my hands. I'm debt-free. I can go to the mission field because of my prayer, because of the power that's in my hands with my prayer. I mean, God's on my side. I've got to triumph. He says He always causes us to triumph. We have the power of God on our side. Sometimes it just makes me wonder why I think so many times I got such weak weapons, such imaginary weapons. But our weapons are mighty through God to pull down strongholds. There's nothing too strong for God's weapons, and God has given to us through prayer. You know, when I gave up that car, I sold it, I knew it was the Lord's will, get myself out of debt, and everything, I knew it was the Lord's will, and I gave up the car, and I didn't want to. And man, I guess for the last couple of weeks, it bothered me, and I just keep thinking, you know, I know it was the Lord's will, I just had to give it up. And there's this one song that came, that kept coming to my mind. Then a nobler, sweeter song, I sing my house. You know, when I left all that for God, and I gave it all for God, I knew that I stepped out to a nobler, sweeter song. It was nobler.
Yeah.
I had a nobler call. No longer did I have to live for a car that was probably going to get wrecked next week anyway. No longer did I have to live on a car that I could spend thousands of dollars on tires and tickets. And the whole thing, I no longer had to do that because I had a nobler song. And that blessing, it was just nobler. I had a nobler life. And now I know I've got a nobler resurrection because of what the Lord has let me give up for Him.
Amen.
You know, when you give a sacrifice, it's not costing you. You can't give a sacrifice. David made that clear. He said, I'm not going to give a sacrifice to God that doesn't cost me anything. And so when you're going to give something for God, expect the reward in return. And God does promise rewards. But if you're going to give something for God and expect the reward, it's going to have to cost you something. And then, you know, you're going to find out it's worth it. If you're going to find out that the joy you get in your own heart from giving up what was binding you, it's going to be worth it. It's going to be worth it that you gave up that for that noble song. Even though the noble song is by faith, it's by faith. You don't see your reward there. I don't see what I'm going to have in heaven. I don't even see what I'm going to have on this earth. But you know, it's the best of this life on earth also. Because God's not just have all the power in heaven. He's got all the power on earth. And He's given it to me. And so I know I've chosen the better side of this life too. Not just the next life, but I've got the better side of this life because of the power I've got in Christ Jesus. Verse 8. And the angel said unto him, gird thyself and bind on thy sandals. And so he did. And he said unto him, cast thy garment about thee and follow me. And he went out and followed him and wished not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. And when they were past the first and second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And I guess that's the beautiful thing in this whole passage. They prayed, and the answer to God's prayer was, he got light. He could see in that dungeon. The soldiers couldn't see. The soldiers didn't know about it until the next morning. They didn't see anything, but the answer to the prayer, Peter could see. He could see everything around him. He could see the gates, everything just open. He could see the soldiers, he could see the chains that fell off on his hands, he could see all that. The light shining. Then the chains fell off his hands. He didn't have anyone bound anymore. Man, the other prisoners, they were bound. But the answer to prayer let Peter not be bound. And then the most beautiful part is the iron gate that leadeth into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. Peter didn't have to do one thing to jimmy that lock or blow up the wall to get out of that jail. The gate just opened up his own accord. You know what I said, Pastor, to be a missionary, the gates just opened up. I haven't had to go fighting to knock any gates down. I haven't had to go trying to open any doors. God's going to open the door so no man can shut. And I know that if God opens the door for me, no man can shut it. I mean, I'm going to walk through the door. If God goes to try to open the door, I'd be a fool not to step through. And God's opened a lot of doors for me. God's opened the door to go to Guadalajara and study language. He's opened that door, and I believe He has. And He's supplied me with all I need so far. And I'm going to step through that door because it opens to me of His own accord. I didn't go to any great deal of trouble to get that door to open. God opened it for me. The gate just opened up with His own accord. I did not have to fight in order to get into that school. I just did the application, and I didn't end up with a seat for the application. And I did, and I just know what happened. I know it has, but God opened the gate so far, He's going to open the rest of them. You know, sometimes I worry about the border. They're not going to let me through the border, you know, because I'm 19, I'm trying to get through in a tourist visa, they're going to check me all out, they're not going to let me through, you know. But God's opened the gate so far, He's going to open the rest of them. The gates are going to open up their own accord because of prayer. Because of the burden. Because God wants His will to be done, and He's given us the power to do it. He's given us the power through prayer. There'll be mighty weapons through God that'll pull down any stronghold, that'll open any gate. There it is. It's our prayer. You know, since I was called to preach, one verse keeps standing out to me. It's about the grace of God. I don't know that I can quote it, I'll try. The abundant grace for all things and for your sakes, that the abundant grace might through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. You know, that's a hard verse to me. I didn't understand what it said for a long time. But what it says is that everything is done for our sakes, for our good. And the grace that we receive, the abundant grace that we receive, and I receive the abundant grace, that through my thanksgiving, it redounds to God's glory. And God's glory is what we're here for. We're here to give God glory. And that our thanksgiving to God makes the grace that we receive redound to His glory. And so when we receive grace, when I receive grace, the grace that God will let me be a missionary, the grace that God will let me be a preacher, the grace that God will give me friends and a family and talk about grace. Man, my father was saved 1 month before I was born. And that's grace. I never had a lost daddy. That's grace. My father was in a good, solid, fundamental church. And that's grace. God, my father was an evangelist. My father taught me in the scriptures. My father raised me up. And that's grace. And through my thanksgiving, I redound to the glory of God. I was called to be a missionary, and I want to give God thanks. I want to thank God for the grace. I want to thank God for my wife. I want to thank God for my family and my new family. I want to thank God because that's the grace of God, and I'm here to give God the glory. And when He answers my prayers, the worst thing I can do, just might as well sing His face, is say, well, Lord, just kind of brush it off. Thank you, Lord, but, you know, things happen to the Lord forward. In our church, we were praying for $30,000 for a building. We prayed for $30,000. And man, we prayed, and it all came in. Just came in the right way. We never had to borrow any money for anything. That money came in. And you know, most of my thoughts were, you know, well, we raised that $30,000. Sure, we prayed for it, but it was really us who raised it. I mean, I missed out $20. I did this. I worked for here. I worked for there. We missed out that money. We got that money together. But it wasn't us. It was the Lord. Because whether I dish out my 20 or not, that money would come through. Because God's one with the power. And if I was not to give God glory for that $30,000, then the next time I prayed, God wouldn't have too much reason to answer my prayer. But I'm here to give glory to God. And so when I receive the abundant grace that I have, I need to give God the glory. When God has called me to be a missionary, I've got to give God the glory. Because God has saw fit to call me. God can use me to somebody else. God doesn't need me. I need God, and I'm going to give God the glory. I'm going to give God the thanks. Since I was called to be a preacher, since I was called to be a missionary, and I know I was, I mean, it's been really a miracle. One after another, the Lord is just calling and brought everything through. I want to say right here in front of everybody, make just a public confession, that it was God's grace. It was all for God, and I want to thank God that He's allowed me to preach and allowed me to go study a language and go work with people that I love, people that I can remember and I can fulfill a burden that I've had. That's God's grace, and I want to give God the thanks. And I want to praise the Lord for His working in the last couple of days, because everything's been happening all fast lately. And I feel like I'm waiting for a nervous breakdown. You know, I can't wait till I just get out and get it all off my shoulders, because it's all just coming out of me so fast from my experience. I feel the Lord, you know, and I've been praying, Lord, help me, I'm falling apart. But I want to thank the Lord that He's brought me through it all the way up to this far. He saved my soul, and He kept my feet from falling. In the song, He says, man, Lord, you saved my soul, you didn't keep my feet from falling. Well, that's true, He did. If He saved your soul, He's going to keep your feet from falling. And I know that when I go down to Guadalajara, that He's going to keep my feet from falling. I need prayer that in Guadalajara, that I can learn the language quickly, and I can learn it fluently and easily, and that my wife can. And I know that the Lord's going to have that prayer. Because I know I'm going to have people back here praying for me. I know that it's the Lord's will. I know that's the Lord's will for it to all come through. That my feet won't fall. Because I know the Lord's saving me. Lord, I used to pray, Lord, if you've gone to this much trouble to bring me out of what I've been in, then man, Lord, you can go a little bit farther. You're not going to drop me now. I remember one time I did one of the worst things I could think of doing. And I just, here I was in the height of my spiritual career. I was really, really going after, you know, and then I failed, you know, and I prayer, and I said, Lord, you saved my soul. You went through an awful lot of trouble to save my soul. You went through an awful lot of trouble to chase me down after I got back to and had no love for you. Now, Lord, aren't you going to finish me out? I mean, you didn't do all that for nothing. You're not going to hold it all in vain. You did it to finish it. And the Lord's going to finish it. I know He's going to finish it because He started, and the Lord is not like the man who started the tower and never got to finish it. The Lord is going to finish what He started. And the Lord started something in me, and He's going to finish it. By the grace of God, I'm going to serve the Lord, and I'm going to be a missionary to Guatemala, and I'm going to do the Lord's work, the best of my ability, and if I do my best, I know the Lord's going to be faithful. And I'd like you to pray for me, especially. I'm leaving this Wednesday. I'd like you to pray that I get Guatemala safely, and that the language comes easily for us, and that the Lord's will be done, and that we can get to Guatemala and do the Lord's work, because the truth is, the night is far spent. And the days at hand, the Lord's coming soon. Pretty soon the sun's going to rise. And we're not going to have any more time. We're going to see Jesus. And if we're going to do anything, we've got to do it now. And I want y'all to pray that the Lord will just make things go through. I don't think I have any problem. The Lord's going to make things go fast. He's made everything go so fast so far. It's just, I know the Lord is going to keep things going. And I'd like y'all to pray for me. Pray for that grace to abound. And that I have to be bold. That I don't have to get to get anything. And that you pray for us in Guatemala as we're trying to be more to work.
Amen. All right, this time, if someone sit back there, brother, where's Brother Bird again? He done forgot his job first Sunday night. Huh? No? Didn't forget it? Well, you have, brother. Go. Go ring the bell. Amen. He's a bell ringer. All right. Let's bow our heads before we go to prayer, and then we're going to have just a 2-3 minute break. Glad to be here. Share with prayer together. Our Father, this is not the Lord Jesus. On visitation day, so far, you pray that God, the Holy Spirit, may continue to have His way in this service. I'm going to be like the preacher that got up and said, when the guest preacher, he said to the pastor, he said, how long shall I preach? He said, you know, so my sermons are kind of like the trains. He said, I go on a few cars or I take off a few cars. And he said, how long shall I preach? I guess the pastor gave him a period of time. And he got up and made a comment publish, and, you know, my sermons are like trains. He said, you know, I go on a few cars and take off a few cars. Was in a conference that he was preaching, the next preacher got up and said, did you ever see a train with so many empty cars? I would be like that tonight. We would have an empty car. Amen? God forbid we would ever have an empty car. And of course, it never will be that way if God the Holy Spirit is alive and has His way.
Amen.
You know, people have asked me from time to time, How do you decide what to preach? I've had a question asked me many times. Well, the truth of that is, I don't decide what to preach.
Amen.
Not a thrust upon you. Some subject, some thought, some pressing something. And God just makes it so much stronger above all the other things in your mind and said, you know, that's it. I never been able really to maybe just kind of spell it out, but I mean, just. I've come to realize that God's leading and directing and guiding. And now sometimes God guides us and gives us a lot of advanced time, and we just work over a message, and we have it outlined, and we have all sorts of thoughts on it, written down, and so forth. And that's good, that's fine. And when we get up to preach, we've got 3 or 4 pages of outline, as well, we've just got lots to lean on. Sometimes the Lord doesn't do that. Sometimes He just presses a thought upon us, and he leads us into a portion of His Word, and He just says, now, you just get in there, and I'll help you while you're doing it.
Amen.
And then,
amen.
We come at the times like that, kind of with fear and trembling, and yet with faith.
Amen.
With faith. We believe. We trust the Lord. And I thank God by Spirit to learn the faithfulness of the Lord.
Yes.
He said, open your mouth wide,
amen.
And I will fill it.
Amen.
And I believe that He means that exactly as He said. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, 2 Timothy chapter 4, I will read 4 verses here, and I'm going to turn over to Mark chapter 4 and read some verses there. But what I'm going to share with you this evening. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verses 1 through 4. There's not a person here tonight that doesn't need this message. This is like maybe sometimes the message you'll hear about a subject that, well, I don't need that. I'm fixed up with that. Of course, usually, the person that makes it needs the least probably needs it the most anyway. But sometimes we think, well, my wife needs that. You know, I hope she gets that. And I've had folks say, I'll tell you what, Brother Joe, my wife needs it.